chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22 and verse number 15. Let's all read that together, okay? So when you found your place, look up this way with bright eyes. That way I know you found it. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Let's read this verse together. Are you ready? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Well, this is a good picture of our birth state. This is a good picture of our birth state. Man is not born wise. He is not born full of wisdom. And man is born with foolishness in his heart. And the Bible has a picture of the reality of mankind. That we are born with foolishness. We are born not with a blank slate. We are born not with a positive slate. We are born with a negative slate. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter what the psychologists say or the liberals say or NBC, ABC, or CBS. We are all born sinners. The Bible says Isaiah 53:6. Let's turn there. Isaiah 53:6. Here's another verse that tells us how much wisdom we are born with. And of course, the greatest wisdom of life, the greatest need of life, is wisdom for our soul. That's the greatest wisdom of life. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Oh, there's a lot of smart people in this life, but they're on their way to hell. Why? Because they don't have wisdom for their soul. They have wisdom to make money, but they don't have enough wisdom how to avoid hell. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Let's read that one, okay? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now this is a picture of mankind. It's a picture of you and I. It's a picture of our spiritual state. All we like sheep. The nature of a sheep is to what? To go astray. What is the nature of a sheep? To go his own way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The man has a problem. He wants to lean on his own understanding. But the problem is, we are born with foolishness in our hearts. We are born the children of Adam and Eve. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are born sinners. We're born with a proneness to sin. We are born with a love for sin. We are born with a darkened will. We are born with a darkened heart. We are born with a darkened understanding. And we're darkened in all the ways of God. We're darkened in the ways of righteousness. And the Bible summarizes and uses a word to speak of that, and it says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Well, you know, there's a lot of big children today in this world. A lot of big children, big adults, and they still have foolishness bound in the heart, in their heart. It's never gotten out. It's never been taken care of. They're going their own way. And every man, every woman, every child needs Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. A great verse in the Bible. Talking about what the believer, the born-again believer, has in Jesus Christ. The one who has repented of going their own way, been convicted of their sin, their sinfulness, that they are lost and without God and needing salvation, those who come to Christ and find Him as their Savior. What it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, let's read that. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Notice it says, who of God is made unto us wisdom. You know that foolishness bound in our heart? The Bible tells us that we can find wisdom. And that wisdom is centered in a person, Jesus Christ. The wisdom of life is found in Jesus Christ. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the beginning of wisdom in a person's life. And without Jesus Christ, man is going the wrong way. Their heart has no desire for the truth of God. They're blinded. They're spiritually darkened. Jesus Christ is the answer for man. Tonight, now let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, the book of wisdom in the Bible. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, by wisdom, created the worlds. Wow. Beyond comprehension to think of the intricacies and the great expanse wisdom and knowledge of God by which God created the worlds. And wisdom that we need in life is found in Jesus Christ. And the wisdom that we need in life, God has chosen a means by which we can gain it, and that is through the Word of God. It is through God's Word and that Jesus Christ can give us wisdom for our lives. And let's go back a couple, Proverbs 2 and verse 6. I want to read that verse and then we'll go on with the message. Let's read that verse. Proverbs 2, 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord giveth wisdom out of His mouth. This is the Word of God. This is God's holy Word. It is the Word that has come out of His mouth. And this is a great treasure for the people of God. Now, We need to have the right perspective of life. Young person, it's important for you to have a right perspective of life. First of all, let's go back to a definition. What is wisdom? Well, I suppose there could be many definitions of wisdom. But wisdom is the skill of living life successfully. The skill of living life successfully. Now, just because Bill Gates is a master of computers and those type of things, and he's a multi-billionaire, you know, that doesn't mean that Bill Gates has the wisdom that about life that when he dies, he'll go to heaven. I don't know anything about Bill Gates. He may be successful at making money and building computers and building a great company, but that doesn't mean he's successful at living. That doesn't mean he's successful about the most important thing, and that's your soul and your relationship to God. You know, there's a lot of successful people in life. Magic Johnson is was a great basketball player. And he made millions of dollars. And he could control a basketball to the nth degree. And he could make it go through that hoop. And he could run up and down that court. But he was a failure at successful living. He was a failure in morality. He was a failure in life. And you know why? Because he didn't have the wisdom of God. He did not have the skill from God to live successfully. Now, you know, getting saved is one of the beginning steps, is really a important beginning step in gaining wisdom. But the book of Proverbs is written from the standpoint that that's just the beginning. And there are many people who claim to know Jesus Christ as their Savior that are a failure at living successfully. They're a failure at living successfully. And the fact is, we have failure right built in our own system. Now, the key to this principle is obviously, first of all, understanding our need for God's wisdom. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. What's it saying? You know what it's saying? The most important thing that we need to get in life is wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the skill to live successfully for God. Wisdom is the skill to live successfully for God. We aren't born with it. We are not born with it. when we get saved, the door is opened for us to gain it. But we still don't have it. We have the ingredients, but we don't have it. Now, you could take a child or a person, and you could give them a hammer, a saw, a square, a pencil, a number of other different carpentry tools, but that doesn't mean they know how to use them. Nor does it mean they would have skill in using them. Now, when we get saved, we get the tools. We get the tools. We get a new life. We get the Holy Spirit. We get understanding. Illumination to the truth of the Bible. We got the tools. But that doesn't mean that we know how to use them. Nor does it mean that we will live life successfully. You have to do something with the tools. Now, the first thing we need about wisdom is we need to hunger for it. Turn with me to chapter 1 and see how much we need wisdom. Proverbs 1. Verse 20, wisdom cries without, she utters her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Okay, well, there's what man is. Man's born a fool. Man's born a simpleton. And when sin gets into a person's life, they become a scorner or a hardened fool. That's what we are in Adam. But notice it says, verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded it, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. What is the description here? The description is the typical reality of life. Man doesn't need God's instruction. Man doesn't want God's instruction. Man knows it all. There's nobody going to tell me what to do. There's no one going to tell me how to run my life. There's no one going to teach me. I'm going to do it my way. And And what does wisdom say when their calamity comes? It says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. Wow. I will laugh. You know, we only have one life to live. And you don't get a rerun. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. But we still don't get a rerun. We don't get our 20 years over. We don't get our 30 years back. We don't get our 40 years back. We don't get any of them back. None of them. And when the calamities come, it's too late. It's too late. What is it too late for? It's too late to change what we already did. It's too late to change the destruction that we brought in our life. Now, we can start, we can turn to God, we can get serious, and we can humble our heart, and we can go on from there. But you know, the problem is, like the title of the book said, it's a lot easier to build boys than to mend men. It's a lot easier to build boys than to mend men. Proverbs chapter 1 tells us the basic principle of life. Verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. A wise man will hear. What a great truth. What a great truth for life. A wise man will hear. It says the simple ones, they love their simplicity. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. But a wise man, what will he do? He'll hear. He wants wisdom. He wants from God what he can only get from God. He wants the skill to live successfully. The skill to live successfully. You know, it's sad, but the Bible says, reprove a scorner and he will hate thee. You know, what is it saying? You know, a scorner doesn't want someone that has learned to live successfully to tell them how to live successfully. Do you ever figure that out? A scorner who's on his way to destruction, who has failed at living life successfully, he hates those who reprove him. If a scorner reprove a wise man, he gets himself a blot, the Bible says. You know what that means? That means the person who lives successfully, who tries to correct the person who's making a mistake in life, guess what? The wise person, they're the problem. They're the problem. Wish that person just get out of my life. What's wrong with them? That's the scorner. They hate knowledge. You know, it's sad. But that's reality. Why? Because we're born fools. We're born without wisdom. We're born without the wisdom to live successfully this life. Now, if you've read the Bible, there's a sad state, a sad reality in the Bible. And the Bible gives us history of mankind. And the history of mankind is not good. Very few people in the Bible have lived successfully. Very few people who claim to be the children of God in the Bible have lived successfully. Very, 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 very few. Now, you know what? That ought to give us a hunger for God's wisdom. That ought to give us a picture of the reality that, hey, you know what? I better wake up. I better get this foolishness out of my soul, and I better quit looking at people and letting the sins of the world, you know, drag me down, and all the sinners of the world who want to live their life, better not learn from them. We better say, you know what? I need some wisdom. And you know, young person, it's easy to take for granted your opportunity. And typical young person sits in this church and they hear the Bible, and you know what? It's like whoosh, right over the top of their head. And fact is, many times adults will sit in this church and have every opportunity to make their life successful and to live successfully for God. But they don't. You see, the Bible tells us the root of it all is humility. A wise man will hear. A wise man will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. God resisteth the proud. And you know, the fact is, how many times we, even us who read our Bible every day, do we go reading the Bible and we are in a spirit of pride? You know, just going through the motions. Reading the Bible as though that somehow reading the Bible makes you spiritual. You did your duty for the day. And we read our Bible and, you know, it's just like water off a duck's back. Doesn't do any good. Doesn't make any effect upon our life. We're not hungry to be changed. We're not hungry to learn from God. We're not afraid of our sinfulness. We're not afraid of our stubbornness. We're not afraid of our love for the things that are wrong. We're not afraid of it. And we just read the Bible like it was some kind of a magic book. And then people go on with their life deceived. Think they're doing fine. And their kids grow up, love the world. They can't stop them. And they wonder why. The Bible says, I laugh. Wisdom laughs. It's sad. It's sad. Pride of man. The root principle here is humility. We need to see ourselves as foolish. We need to see ourselves as without the wisdom that we need to live successfully. And it ought to scare us. It ought to scare us right into the hands of the Lord. And so the Bible says, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Obviously, that puts everything in kind of a nutshell. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, if wisdom is entering into our lives, what are we going to have? Give me the answer. The fear of the Lord. If wisdom is beginning to enter into our lives, what will we get? The fear of the Lord. Now, this is kind of humbling. But sometimes I ask myself, you know, Ron, you know a lot about the Bible. Where's the fear of the Lord? That's really scary. And I think about a lot of good people go to seminaries, good seminaries, and they learn the Bible, and they come out of those seminaries with less convictions than they had when they went in. They go to those seminaries and they live looser after they go than when they went in. And I say, something is rotten in Denmark. Something is rotten in Denmark. Now, we aren't going to be able to discuss this subject in totality, but let's go back to Proverbs 4:7. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Wisdom is the principal thing. Now, the question is, how important is wisdom in our life? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Oh, what a great picture here. The wisdom. What's wisdom? The skill that comes from God, the skill to live your life rightly and successfully before the Lord. To live your life successfully spiritually. To be a spiritual success in life. That's the most important thing in life. Money isn't the most important thing. Rubies aren't the most important thing in life. All the things that the world offer, they are not more important than the wisdom that comes from God. The wisdom that gives us the understanding, the wisdom, the discretion, the knowledge that it means to live successfully, to avoid sin, to avoid the traps of sin, to live purely. You know, wisdom is really related to this principle of purity. So when is purity not pure? when it touches and redefilement, right? Purity loses its purity when it is defiled by impurity. You know, that's a picture of wisdom. Wisdom is like purity. And the defilement of sin takes away that purity. Many people live in the realm of impurity. They've been defiled by sin. They've gone down the wrong path, and their mind is clouded by all the results of sin. There's something missing because the purity has been lost. We need God's wisdom. Proverbs tells us that wisdom comes only at a high price. Proverbs 2, I want us to think a little bit about the high price of getting wisdom. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. Now let's put it in life context. Here is a father talking to a son. Now son, if you want to live successfully in life, you're going to have to find wisdom. And I want to give it to you. And I want to teach you. And I want to show you what you need to know in life. But he says, son, in order for you to get it, a wisdom, you have to receive the words I tell you. You have to hide my commandments. You have to memorize what I tell you. And you have to have your ear tuned to everything I say, every detail, every intricacy, every truth. And you have to apply yourself, your heart to it. It can't be in your head. It's got to be in your heart. And he says, and you have to seek her like you would. You have to cry for her. You have to cry to God for her. You have to plead for her. You have to get God's grace that wisdom would enter into your soul. Because why? We have a hard heart. And it says, and then it says, and you must seek her as silver. You must seek her, search for her as for hid treasures. Now this is what the Bible's saying. In real life, it's saying this to every young person. This is ought to be your attitude and your actions about what your dad is trying to teach you about God and about life and about truth. This ought to be your attitude, your action, your demeanor as a Christian. To your pastor and to your teachers that are trying to teach you the Bible. You ought not sit back there and just kind of dare someone to hit you over the head. And I was telling this in my Proverbs class. I can think back about 30 years ago. And I can think of a group of men we had. And nice young men, you know, all around that 30 to 35 year age and had a whole life ahead of them. And many of them, you know, very able. I just have my picture in my mind of these men. They all had the same opportunity, all had the same potential. And I think of these men. And I think of one of them. One of them was different than this group of five or six or seven men that were kind of in his group. One of these men came to church, and he always brought a notebook. And every time he came to church, he was taking notes. I mean, he was hungry to learn. He was just as intelligent as the rest of them. And I'm not trying to you know, say anything about not taking notes if you don't take notes. But the other guys, you know, they were kind of the typical man. You know, we're just sit here listen, and, you know, if the pastor really comes up with something good, we'll listen to it. But, you know, they just kind of sat there kind of like, you know, we know it all. Not that they really did, but they weren't hungry for the truth. Let me ask you a question. Which of those men, 30 years later, is successfully living for the Lord? What do you think? What do you think? The man who came with a notebook and a Bible and a pencil, and every Sunday is taking notes. Every Sunday, hungry to learn the Word of God. You know what? He found some wisdom that the other men didn't find. And today that man is successfully living the Christian life. I think that of that group, there is none other that are successfully living the Christian life. They all had the opportunity. They all had the opportunity to learn. They all had the opportunity to listen. I don't know what their problem was. I suppose they just thought the pastor, he's just another man. Yeah, that's true. But delivering the Word of God, giving wisdom to live successfully. And so he says there's a high price to pay to gain wisdom. There's a high price to pay. And you know, you can be here tonight and you can be honest. You ought to be honest with yourself. I mean, is that spirit within you? Is that spirit within you that hungers to gain the wisdom of God from His Word, from His Holy Spirit, from the Lord Jesus Christ, to live life successfully? You know, the end of life, it's going to be too late. The end of life is going to be too late. Can't return. It won't go back. There's a high price to pay. And notice in chapter 4, it speaks of the fact that every part of our being has to be involved in this pursuit of wisdom. Notice it says, Proverbs 4, verse 20, "My son, attend to my words." In other words, give attention to my words. "Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Notice what he says, verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart. You know, you talk about spiritual bacteria. There's a lot of spiritual bacteria that attacks the heart. And you know, a lot of people aren't very wise. And they let things come into their life, and they let those things take away their heart. And you know what? It is our duty to keep our heart. Stephen, he's a young man. But you know what, Stephen? You've been around long enough. You've already seen it, right? People let things get into their heart, and their lives get destroyed, don't they? They let things take away their heart for right, for God, for truth. They make something, some reason. Oh, it's a good reason. It's an excusable reason. But they let it come in their life and they let it take away their heart. It's unexcusable. Keep your heart. Whatever it is. Your heart you got your heart taken away for the things of God. I tell you what, there's a reason for it. It didn't come in by accident. We let it come in. We let it take away our heart. It says, keep your heart. Notice it says, put away from thee a froward mouth. You know, people think, oh, I can say what I want to say. No. You know what? The Bible said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You say, you know what? I can tell somebody what's on my mind. No, you can't. No, you can't. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And you just tell somebody what you think, let the words fall out of your mouth, whatever you think, guess what? You're not keeping your soul. And many people are destroyed by the false bravery and the false pride of telling somebody just what they think. I was talking to a dear soul, and afterwards, I was like, oh, man. Boy, those are some mighty, mighty powerful words. I think that dear soul lost their tenderness. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on. You know, the light of the body is the eye. You know, there's the spiritual eye. The eye is your goal in life. To walk with God, to bring glory to God, to live to the ultimate for God's purpose. You take your eye off of that. Wow. Guess what's going to happen? You and I are failing in keeping wisdom. Let thine eye look right on. You know, there's a physical eye. Usually it's the spiritual eye that goes first. The eye that says, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to live for His glory. I'm going to live for His purpose. Everything I do, I'm going to do it for God. That's the eye that first goes. And then secondly, the physical eye goes. And the things of the world. Lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. Now they have room. It says, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. You know, the foot tells us where we go. Where we go. You know, there's a simple truth there. You know, wisdom is smart enough not to go some places. You know, we live in a day of Christian liberty. Huh. It's called the Christian license to sin. And people say, I can handle that. Wisdom says, no, you can't handle that. Wisdom says, remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh to the posts of her door. You know, when we start saying, I can handle that, You know, men, your wife says, what are you doing? Oh, it's nothing, dear. It's nothing. Wisdom. What does it say? Wisdom ponders the path of thy feet. You see, wisdom must be gained and retained by every part of our being. That's the picture here. Because without wisdom, we will lose the ability to live life successfully. And that's all that really counts in life. To live life successfully for God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. My son, give me thine heart. Let my words enter into your soul. The wise man will hear. The wise man will increase learning. You know, we will have never arrived at life. Isn't that amazing? We'll never have arrived. That means that we will always sense within our lives a greater need for God's wisdom. But you know, a simple truth here. The Bible says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Now the Bible talks about four groups of people in life. The wise man. The simple man. The fool. And the scorner. Four kinds of people. What is your understanding of life? What percentage of even Christians are wise? They will live life successfully spiritually. How many people are simple? That means they're easily influenced. They're around good people. They do the right thing. They're around the wrong people. They do what they say. Simple. How many people are fools? I mean, they hate knowledge. How many are scorners? You know, you only need one scorner per 1,000 people, and they can control 1,000 people like that. Now, my simplistic analysis is that, you know, maybe 5% of even Christians are wise. But 60 to 70% are simple. Maybe 10% are fools. Maybe 1 or 2% are scorners. The vast majority of all people are simple. That's why people who claim to be a Christian will vote for a man who believes in homosexuality and believes in abortion. People who believe that that's wrong will vote for somebody who believes it's okay. You know, obviously they don't think, they're just manipulated by whoever. That's why people get elected that, you know, I don't think Abe Lincoln could be elected today because he was ugly. I mean, he was homely. You ever see pictures of him? Think he ever get elected today? Not a chance. What's the difference between a simpleton? Or we don't like that word. My mom always said, told me when I was growing up. She said, Simple Simon says, And she always told me, Simple Simon says, Simple Simon says. And she always said, I suppose if someone told you to jump off the pier, you do it. What's the difference between the wise man and simple? One basic, simple truth. A wise man is a simple man who has made the decision to commit himself to do what is right. You see, a simple person is non-committed to truth. They're non-committed to right. They're just out there. And the path of wisdom starts with a commitment. A commitment to do right. Very simple truth, isn't it? Take a young person. Oh, it's easy to understand. We can talk about young people because that won't hurt adults. They agree. You know, what's the pathway of a young person that gets on the right pathway? They come to the point and they say, you know what? I am going to do what is right. Now, they can pursue wisdom. But until then, they can't. Because they can't get it. It won't enter into their heart. It's not possible. They can't pursue wisdom until they choose to do it. Proverbs 3 tells us that. Now tonight, I wonder as a Christian, do we have the right picture of life? One of the great pictures of life is that what we need in life is the spiritual skill to live successfully our lives. You know, Proverbs doesn't say a whole lot about the next life. Proverbs is talking about living this life successfully. And it says in order to do that, we need wisdom from God. And if we're going to get wisdom, we're first of all going to have to come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Secondly, as a Christian, now we will have the ability to make that decision that we are going to do what's right. And if we make that decision to do what's right, then we will recognize that we are an empty, in a sense, an empty slate or a negative slate, but a slate that is void of that wisdom. We aren't born with it. We don't get it the moment we get saved. We get the tools, but we don't get it. We have to pursue it. And we have to pursue that more than anything else in life. You know, when I got saved, I didn't know anything about a family. In the sense of, I didn't know anything about raising a family for God. We never had family devotions while I was growing up. My dad was a wonderful dad, one of the best in the world, but he never went to church. We never read the Bible in our home. We almost never had prayer before we had a meal. We never talked about God in our home. We never talked about the Bible in our home. I didn't know anything about raising a Christian family. But I had a pastor who had successful family. And I said, you know, I'm going to watch them as close as I can. I'm going to learn everything I can from him. I want to gain a little bit of his wisdom of raising his family successfully. You know, that kind of spirit is what we ought to have in our lives. That humility, that hunger for the truth, that hunger for God's word. Well, young person, adult, have you made that decision that you need God's wisdom to live successfully? Have you made that decision? Not going to come by just sitting here in the pew. It's got to be a decision of our heart. There has to be some practicality in our life. There has to be some serious study of the Bible. Some serious study of the Bible. I mean, I'm not just talking about reading the Bible devotionally. I like what J. Vernon McGee said the other day. I read in his book, he said, you know, there's people who read the Bible devotionally all their life and they never learned anything about the Bible. They never studied the Bible. Never learned what it said. They didn't hunger for truth. They didn't hunger for wisdom. And I'm in the same boat. I read my Bible. And I said, but I better read that chapter over. I just read some words. And I read that chapter and I says, boy, you better read that again because you need to get it in your soul. You know? You need to get it in your soul. There has to be some spiritual effort here in our lives concerning God's word and the truths of it. But it does start with an attitude. An attitude of hunger. And you know, the fact is, many times we wake up in the morning and we aren't very hungry. Right? Maybe you're more spiritual than I am. Oh, there's many a time we wake up in the morning and we're not very hungry. And you know what? We're just headed for destruction even that day. Because we didn't need wisdom. We didn't see our need. And we almost go through life blind. I'm not sure how God is speaking to your heart tonight. But wisdom is the principal thing. Are we hungering it? Young person, are you hungering for it? You junior hires in my Bible class. Are you just content to sit there and just kind of daydream? Or will you make a decision for God so you get into the next level where you decide that you're going to do what's right and all of a sudden the Bible is going to start living for you? Humility. The hunger for wisdom is the bottom line. Let's pray. Lord, great truth in your Bible, great truth for our lives. And Lord, we're all alike. We all face the same battles. We all struggle, Lord, with sin. And yet, Lord, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can decide. We can decide to do right. Because we are in Him, we can pursue wisdom. We can listen and hunger for truth. We can get our hearts right with you. And surrender our lives and get the things out of our life that are taking away our soul and get on the path of successful Christian living. Lord, it's an attitude that we all need. And God, I pray that we would be humble before Thee tonight, seeing the reality of our need to have your wisdom from your word through Jesus Christ in order to live successfully. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you know, it's a simple